Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Two Boston Public School employees are on administrative leave today as officials work to figure out why some school water fountains were activated before water testing was completed. Now, the mistake could have exposed children to lead at eight different Boston schools, including Mather Elementary, Lee K-8, Curly K-8, and another course to college, amongst others. Phone calls are being made to families this afternoon. So what does this mean for the students who drank from those fountains, and does it indicate a bigger problem with lead in the Boston area water, and specifically water serving schools? For more, we're joined now by Dr. Moitre Mazumdar. She's a staff physician in pediatric neurology at Boston's Children's Hospital. She's also assistant professor of neurology and a professor of environmental health at Harvard Medical School. Dr. Mazumdar, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
So first of all, can you just give us your reaction to this report that some Boston Public School children may have been exposed to lead-tainted water through these prematurely activated fountains?
So I have two initial reactions. One, it seems from what we can read in the newspaper, what was reported in the Globe, that the length of the exposure was actually quite short, a number of hours in some cases or days. And so I think the immediate danger, we might be able to take a step back and say, well, you know, this was a miss of some point. You know, it was an important miss, but maybe something that was caught in time. I think the second reaction is it's not a surprise. We have a lot of lead in Boston, in New England, in the Boston area, an infrastructure that has leaded pipes, houses that have lead in the environment, you know, lead paint, and rates of lead, elevated blood lead, that are higher than other parts of the country, or higher than many parts of the country. And so this is a big problem for Boston, as well as many other old American cities.
Yeah. Now, I understand that you've looked at the amount of lead that was in this water. Was it a lot, even if the exposure was for a short period of time?
So, you know, what is a lot? There are standards for how much lead can be in drinking water, and the standards that have been set are 15 parts per billion, and there are some water fountains that, in the material I was given to review, that have levels above that, mostly just a little bit above that, but in some water fountains, some of the cases, a number of times higher than that. Comparing it to other, the other big lead water crisis that's in the news, Flint water, Michigan's certainly what's been reported. These levels are much lower than there.
Okay, so let me just ask you briefly: how long would a child theoretically have to be exposed at above 15 parts per billion for there to be a problem? Just to give a sort of a sense of context here.
So I think there's two teachings. One is that no amount of lead is good. No exposure to lead is good. And so we really don't want children to be exposed to any lead for any period of time. That being said, the studies that have been done looking at lead don't answer this particular question or don't address this particular question. The studies that look at lead look at blood lead levels, which represent chronic exposure over months, over years. Certainly the studies that were done in Boston, around the world, and certainly in Flint, represent chronic exposure over enough time for the lead in the water to be absorbed, get into the blood and maintain a certain blood level.
I see. So, chronic, as I heard you say, a matter of months and years.
Months and years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting because, You know, I'm just sort of taken by what you said that, of course, there is a certain degree of thinking that, no amount of lead is acceptable. And I think even the CDC sort of officially says that's the aim or the goal. But yet here we have a case where in schools, again, a place where, you know, one presumes that kids should be best looked after, we have at least this momentary exposure to high
lead levels. Well, let me clarify what the CDC says. Okay. So the CDC says that there's no blood lead level that has been associated with no changes or no harm. So we still are talking about exposures that are long enough and high enough to change the amount of lead in the blood, so which is maybe a small subtlety, but I think an important one in this case.
Well, so you can tell me a little bit more about that, because I'm not sure I fully understand the significance of that.
So what the CDC says, or what we who study the long-term effects of lead poisoning, there used to be a thinking that if your blood lead level, and this was the way that lead is monitored in lead screening programs and clinically, if your lead level was above a certain threshold that there was harm associated with it, and if it was below a certain threshold, that you were completely safe. And that was the thinking that guided clinical care and public health practice for decades. That level, that threshold, came down over a number of decades. But it was certainly until 1991 the paradigm. Mm. You know, this is the threshold. Below this threshold, things are fine. And above this threshold, that's when you have to worry. That has changed. As we have had less lead in our environment, mainly through the reduction of lead in paint and the reduction of the removal of lead from gasoline, we're able to study what lead does at lower levels. And we can see that children who have blood lead levels that are lower than what we used to think was safe still have increased risk for neurologic injury, poor scores on neurodevelopmental tests. So there's no level in the blood of lead hasn't been shown to be associated with these changes.
I see. But again, this is blood lead level, right?
Blood
and levels. And what we're measuring now in the case of these Boston schools is at least lead levels that were in the water, right? For some of these water fountains. And then, of course, just yesterday, as you well know, President Obama was in Flint, Michigan.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and he even took a sip of filtered Flint water.
Right.
Now, I understand at least for several months, the water in Flint, the lead level there has been below that 15 parts per billion threshold. But they're still telling people, if you put a filter on, it's okay to drink. But they advised, due to abundance of caution for pregnant women and children under six, still not to drink the water, even with a filter on it. So I guess I'm just wondering, where does that leave parents and families where the point of action that they can take is at the faucet, it's sort of blood lead levels is one thing, but we're putting the lead in our bodies, hopefully not, but through the water.
Well, so what should families do about the water? And I think in the schools the question has been addressed. Those particular fountains have been turned off, or at least that's what I read in the newspaper. I think parents who are concerned, and we should all be concerned living in, you know, in a high lead area, it's important if you have an old house or a house that's served by an older infrastructure to have your water tested so you know what you're dealing with. And if you have high lead in your water, to reduce that lead exposure, you know, which is harder to do in certain cases. Certainly if you're renting, it's hard to do. There are certain things that you can do. You can run your water for a certain period of time in the morning to flush it. So if it's been sitting unused, you know, the taps have been sitting unused for a number of hours, it's better to run the water. That itself, and you can see that in the data that from these public schools, that they, after they flush it, after they run it for a while, the water levels go down. Filters also are recommended.
Should schools be putting filters in Boston on all their taps and faucets and
if
fountains?
If their water has, I think there are people who know this these forms of environmental remediation better than I do. But if they, the better thing is to have water without lead, right? Right. But that certainly is one way to mitigate, is to have filters in water that has higher lead.
Right. Mm-hmm. So obviously there's ongoing questions and sort of an examination of what's happening with the Boston mm-hmm. schools that we began talking about. But in the last couple seconds that we have, while I've got you and you're a neurology expert and an environmental health professor at Harvard, I just have to ask you a question about Flint.
Okay.
If you lived there right now, would you drink their water, even with filters on?
So I have two answers to that. I think looking at the data in Flint, it still is very area dependent and line dependent, and I think so I would have to know exactly what it was in the water which water source that I was using. I think filters can be very effective. I think it's better to use water that doesn't have any lead in it. But I think Flint has a bigger problem, and I think one that this focus on water, which has come for many reasons, forgets, is that before the water crisis in Flint, and also in Boston, I think this applies to Boston as well, but let's talk about Flint. Before this change of water sources in Flint, Flint already had higher lead levels or mm-hmm. higher incidence of high lead levels among their children than areas immediately surrounding them. It already had probably twice as high lead levels. And so the major, we have to think about why that is and why, and we know that this water crisis exacerbated that, but at baseline, they still had higher rates.
Right.
And that comes from a number of sources, and mainly from lead paint. And so if we really are getting serious as a society and as a country now to once again look at our lead problem, I think we have to look beyond these episodes of water contamination and really look at all of the sources of lead in our environments and the communities that they affect, which yeah. are... poor communities with fewer resources right. to remediate housing.
Uh-huh. Point well taken, but I also just keep thinking that there's an outstanding environmental justice question in Flint where, officials are telling them it's safe now if you put a filter on the water. And, mm-hmm. and if I were living in Flint, I would probably still look a little askance at those those officials.
I understand that. Yeah.
Well, Dr. Moitre Mazumdar is a staff physician and in pediatric neurology at Boston's Children's Hospital. Excuse me. She's also a professor of environmental health at Harvard Medical School. Thank you so much for joining us
Thank
today.
Thank you.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We'll be right back. This is Radio Boston. Mm-hmm.